mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The festival, the feast that we celebrate today, it's a little bit different than some of the other festivals that we celebrate during the church year. The other festivals, we celebrate events. Christmas, the birth of our Lord. Epiphany, the coming of the Magi. Good Friday, the death of our Lord upon the cross. Easter, Christ's resurrection. And ascension is his ascension into heaven. The point is that every one of these festivals commemorates a special event in the life of the church. The Feast of the Holy Trinity, on the other hand, calls our attention not to an event, but to an important teaching of the Bible. That the only true God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one divine being, the Holy Trinity. But can we find evidence of this three-in-one nature of God in Holy Scripture? So we begin today with our gospel that we just heard a moment ago. Jesus, he was about to ascend into heaven, and he gave the church instructions to baptize and to teach disciples. His instruction called for the church to baptize in the name of God, and he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You need to note here that the name, the word name, is singular. There's only one name, but at the same time, there's three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus gave instructions to baptize in just one name, but three persons. Before we heard Jesus in the gospel, we heard the Apostle Peter preach his Pentecost sermon. Pentecost, we celebrated last Sunday. This is kind of a continuation of that Peter spoke. And in the words that we hear today, Peter was making the case that because Jesus rose from the dead, he is God, our Savior. And as he made his case, he freely spoke of the Father and the Holy Spirit, our Lord did. He said, Peter said, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this day that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. With these words, Peter not only showed that Jesus is the Savior, but he showed that he is the very Son of God. The very Son of God who received the promise of the Holy Spirit from God the Father. And Jesus himself poured out the Holy Spirit with the sounds of the sound, with the signs of the sound of mighty rushing wind, the tongues of fire, and the ability to speak in foreign languages. Now, the first reading that we heard this morning shows us that the Holy Spirit has always, always been around. He didn't just come at the festival of Pentecost. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Here we see that the Spirit of God was active at the very beginning, before the world began. So God reveals himself all throughout the Bible. As he reveals himself, we repeatedly encounter only one true God, who is a community of three persons. Jesus revealed the Father and prayed to him. The Father recognized Jesus as his beloved Son. Jesus promised that the Father would send the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, the Bible clearly proclaims that there is one and only one God. The Bible clearly proclaims God as three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At the same time, it clearly proclaims that God is one and there is no other. So in each of our readings then today, which we heard, each one calls attention to one person of the Trinity. The Old Testament reading tells us about creation and we generally ascribe to that work of creation to the Father. The second reading is part of the history of the church, and we generally ascribe the planting and the nurturing of faith and the birth of the church by the Holy Spirit. And the gospel today shows Jesus teaching and instituting a sacrament. And these are the works that we generally ascribe to Jesus, our Lord, the very Son of God. So that each of these readings focuses on one member of the Trinity. While each of these readings call attention to one member of the Trinity, they also call attention to the fact that the three persons are the only one God, but yet they all work together. As the Father creates the heavens and the earth, there is the Spirit hovering over the face of the water. As Peter preaches by the power of the Holy Spirit, he preaches about the Son. As Jesus established the sacrament of holy baptism, he tells us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we see one person of the triune God taking a leading role, we always find the other two persons of the Trinity making their contribution. This is especially clear to us in the work that the Son of God did when he took on our human nature. Okay? Even his conception as a man was a team effort. When the Son took on our human nature, God the Father sent him, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity were at work. The same three persons of the triune God that worked together at his incarnation, they continued to work together all throughout the life of Jesus. Jesus began his public work, his public ministry, at his baptism. What happened there? You remember. The Holy Spirit came down as a dove. The Father declared that Jesus is his beloved Son and that he is well pleased with him. Jesus began his mission of salvation together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and all are active in completing our salvation. Jesus regularly prayed to his Father, and the Spirit was with him every step of the way. Then came Jesus' final days of his life. And I've got to tell you, something amazing happened while Jesus hung upon the cross. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Somehow, in a way that's beyond our understanding, the tight relationship of the triune God experienced forsakenness. We can't imagine what or how this even happened. That had to be horrible. Yet even in that forsakenness, the influence of the Father was still there. Jesus was carrying out his Father's will by going to the cross. on Easter morning, the Father raised him from the dead. Later, when Jesus ascended into heaven, his Holy Spirit was sent to establish and nurture the church, the bride of Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, began, continued, and ended his time here on earth in complete harmony with the other persons of the Holy Trinity. So when God created us, me and you, he created us to be in perfect harmony with the triune God as well. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created humanity in his image. Now that's sinless, immortal, living forever, intelligent, and with a soul that was breathed into us by the very breath of God. We were to act on God's behalf and rule in his name. God gave us the most excellent beginning, and he declared us to be very good. That goodness didn't last very long. The serpent, he got into the garden and he enticed Adam and Eve to doubt about the goodness of God. Our first parents began to think, hey, I think I know better than God. Instead of honoring God by declining the forbidden fruit, they dishonored him by taking that fruit and eating it. They sinned against God. And with that sin, they brought death into the world. Our first parents broke their relationship with God. And we've been unable to restore that relationship ever since. That's the reason for the second person of the Holy Trinity. God the Son, and what all he did. In his love for us, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. That's the reason he suffered hell on the cross as God the Father forsook him. He endured all of this to renew our relationship that he originally had with us in the very Garden of Eden. The Holy Spirit works through the church to make disciples. He begins with holy baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he continues teaching disciples to observe all that Jesus commanded. So on this Sunday of the Holy Trinity, our reading of God's holy word reminds us once again of the unity of the three persons in our one God. Even though each person of the Trinity has his primary role, the Father as creator, the Son as our redeemer, and the Holy Spirit as the sanctifier, each person of the Trinity is involved with everything that God does, especially in the work of redeeming us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. For we are justified by God the Father's grace, for God the Son's sake, through God the Holy Spirit's gift of faith. Therefore, we see that in all things, especially in our salvation, that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen